well as the Sunday PM next week. And also pray for Brother Neil. He'll have the Sunday school, so pray for these men. God will use them in a special way. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Let's go ahead and stand once you got your places there. And then 1 John 5:4. 1 Corinthians 15:57. And then 1 John 5:4. And we're going to read those two verses. Those are our two jumping verses for the introduction. And hopefully we'll finish this up tonight. Again, we're going to be picking back up with dealing with Satan as the deceiver on the introduction, because we want to really find out what he is doing so that we can be aware of what he does. 1 John 5:4 and 1 Corinthians 15:57. Everybody have their place. Say amen. Any omies? All right. So read with me 1 John 1:4. Here we go. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And then notice 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And so, just like Mrs. White talked about, we are overcomers. We have overcome the world because we're saved. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:57. And read that with me. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we already have the victory. Amen. If we stop living right now, guess what? We're going to appear in glory. Amen. So that's a done deal. It's a foregone conclusion. Amen. And so we praise God that we have the victory. However, we still have a formidable foe. His name is Satan, and he wants to make it so that it seems like we don't have the victory when we actually do. We're on the winning side, amen? So don't let him bamboozle you to thinking that you're on the losing side. Father, bless now tonight as we look at Satan as the deceiver. Lord, I do pray that everything that's said and that's done will bring glory and honor unto you. Lord, magnify yourself through your word. And Lord, minimize the power that Satan tries to exercise over us. Lord, that we might see that truly the victory is ours in Christ. And Lord, as we mentioned this morning, we're complete in you. We've got everything that we need to be successful Christians for the glory of God. And whether he wants to fight against us or not, Lord, we still have the victory. I pray tonight that our eyes might be opened a little bit more clearer. We might be enlightened a little better on the deception that is out there. And Lord, be wise in how we live this Christian life, and allowing Jesus Christ to live it through us by the power of the Spirit and obedience to his word, Lord, making sure that we're not trapped by the world's lures. We thank you so much for loving us, Lord. As we like to always say, Lord, help us to leave here differently than when we came in, a little bit more knowledgeable of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a little bit more conformed to the image of Christ, that we may be, Lord, what you would have us to be, the victors in Christ. We thank you, we love you, and praise you, Lord. Work in us and through us tonight, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, you may be seated. I talked to you about this series, Satan's strategy, detecting and defeating him. We're going to see Satan in 4 aspects. Number 1, as a deceiver. Number 2, as a destroyer. Number 3, as a ruler. Number 4, as an accuser. The first one that we're going to deal with is going to be Satan as a deceiver. And I talked to you about this. He wants to target our minds. And I'm going to talk about the significance of that here on the next lesson. But then he wants to target our minds, but then he wants to use as his weapon lies. By the way, can you believe a liar? No. Amen. You never know when they are lying. And then his purpose is to make us ignorant of God's will. And I mentioned that before. If we're not doing God's will, whose will are we doing by proxy? By default, it's Satan's will. Amen. That's what he wants. So deception is involved in that, because if he can fool you into thinking you're doing God's will and it's not God's will, by default, you're doing his will. Amen. And then our defense is going to be the inspired word of God. So let me give you just a couple of things that we've already discussed about this entire study. What we already are. We are victors, practically speaking. We looked at 1 John 4:4. Which says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. We're also victors positionally, where we sit right now. Colossians 1:13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. So that's a past tense, delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So right now, to be translated means he's transferred us. Amen. So we already have a seat reserved. Amen. We go to Lancaster, a Baptist church, for leadership conference in times past. And they did something called reserve seating. Do you know how good it is to have reserve seating when you walk into a place, you know your seat is already reserved for you? And you've got a bunch of people in there, but you know you can walk right up to your seat and nobody's sitting in your seat. And you know what people have the audacity to do sometimes, Pastor White? Sit in our seats. And you know what you have to say? That's mine. Look, it's on my tag right here. Pastor Dawson, seat 104, row A. Are you Pastor Dawson? Oh, well, I just thought that, well, you just think you're going to get out. Amen. Now, of course, I'm spiritual about it because we're at the spiritual leadership conference. Amen. So you have to be spiritual and cordial when demanding your seat. Amen. But I pay good money for that seat, so I want my seat. Amen. So we're victors positionally, we're victors practically, but we're also victors powerfully. Revelations 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So we're victors powerfully. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse any sinner's stains. Amen. Hey, I don't care what sin it is. You say, well, what about this sin? God can cleanse it. What about this? He can cleanse it. There is not a sin that Jesus Christ can't cleanse with his blood, except the ones that you don't give him. Amen. And guess what? He can cleanse those too if you let him. And so powerfully, we are victors. And so we looked at how much of a winner we already are, even before we step into the battle. Glory to God. The minute you got off your knees and praying and asking Jesus Christ to save you, bam, you were a winner. That's it. Hey, folks, hell is for losers. Heaven is for winners. That's where all the redeemed are going. Amen. The losers have lost out on Christ. They've lost out on eternal life. They lost out on that decision when they had a free choice to be on the winning side. Amen. I don't know about you, but I always like to be on the winning side. Amen. One of the things you get my goat when we played dodgeball in grade school was being on the losing side. You know, you had those guys over there and they getting you out. And you're the last one there. All your teammates are over there watching and you're the last one. And you're thinking, why did y'all get out? And you know what you got to do? You got to catch the ball so you can get them back in. You catch that ball, come on back in. Catch another one, get back in. Now let's get them out, amen. Hey, I like being on the winning side. And so we're victors practically, positionally, but also powerfully. Then we began looking at Satan as the deceiver. And we saw his deceit is deliberate. It is he's not trying to do this by accident. He's deliberately trying to bamboozle you. Amen. I tried to get my children the other day to see if they were colorblind or not. I gave them one of those colorblind charts. Say, what number is up here? And they all passed with flying colors. I said, well, we know y'all aren't colorblind. And I actually told them, I said, do you know there's some people that can't see this? Pastor White, remember that? You go through basic training and they put it up there and they say, what number's up there? They say, what number? You're thinking, wait a minute. I can see 57. I can see that 7. I can see 68. And they're looking at that. I don't see any numbers. You know what they are? They're colorblind for certain colors because the numbers that they are supposed to see are in the color that they're colorblind for and they can't see it. To them, it just looks like a bunch of little dots and circles. How many of you ever looked at a colorblind chart? Amen. And how many of y'all could see the numbers? How many couldn't see the numbers? There's nothing to be ashamed about. You're just colorblind. That's all. My wife accuses me of it all the time. She said, you're colorblind. You're colorblind. That doesn't match. I said, it does match some kind of way in here. Amen. I know it matches. Amen. So, honey, you're colorblind, amen. I've been tested by the military, amen. I'm GA certified, GI certified. Government issued that I am not colorblind, amen. As some may think that I am, amen. But Satan's deceit is deliberate. He's doing this on purpose, and he will tell you that he is going to do it. And we saw this, Satan is a deliberate deceiver in description. We saw he's a liar and the father of it in John 8:44. We saw he's a deliberate deceiver in deception. And we saw that in Revelations 12:9, where he deceiveth the whole world. And we left off on Satan is a deliberate deceiver in direction. And I mentioned this. He doesn't want you to do God's will. What does he want you to do? His will. Anything else but that. Just don't go in this door. You can go in that 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 door. You can even crawl through that window, but just don't go this way. Every other door is Satan's choice and not God's choice. And so when you don't do God's will, by default, you're doing the devil's will. And so we saw that he is a deliberate deceiver in direction. Notice Genesis 3:13. Genesis 3:13. And I'm going to ask you a question about this here in just a minute. Genesis 3:13. Talking about Satan being a deliberate deceiver in direction. Genesis 3:13. And we're going to investigate the word that we talked about last week. How many of y'all remember what that word was that we ended on last week dealing with the perfume? Beguiling. Amen. How many ladies got beguiling at home? Does it even smell good? It must smell good. It sells. Nobody? Anybody got poison at home? You got bod. See, men have masculine stuff. Bod. Old Spice. Ladies have poison, beguiling. We got bod, they got poison and beguiling. What's up with that? Now, I reckon it smells good. I don't know. I've not smelled it. Amen. But no, I smell poison. Does it smell good? That was poison? Guess it does smell good. Amen. See, she got me. Amen. She beguiled me. Amen. All right, Genesis 3. Notice verse number 13 here. And of course, this is after the fruit has been eaten, and God is calling them into question as to what happened. And notice verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent, what? Beguiled me, and I did eat. The definition of beguiled means to lead astray mentally. To lead astray mentally. Or morally, to seduce. Seduce means this, to attract into a course of action that is inadvisable. So in other words, she's saying, he attracted me into this course of action that was inadvisable. He led me astray mentally. He got into my mind. By the way, the direction that he wants you to go is anywhere but the will of God. And he knows the place to attack you is right here. That's the place to attack you. And we'll see about that a little bit more on the next lesson. Question for you. What are some things the devil may lead us astray on? What might he lead us astray on? Everything. I mean, let's get some quantities here. What, Joshua? Reading your Bible. What might he say on leading you astray on the Bible? Don't read it. You've read it before. You don't have time? It's not information what? Not good information that you want? These are all lies that he will give you. He gave me plenty. Bible's written by man. It's got errors in it. It's got contradictions in it. And so he will give you those. Here's some other ones that he will put out there. Well, it's just a little white lie. It won't hurt anybody. It's just a little white lie. Is there any difference between a white lie and a black lie? What about a blue lie and a purple lie? Green and red? It's poison, sister. We can't have that. That's poison, amen. None of that, amen. He will tell you that, you know, it's okay because it's a little white lie. It helped get somebody out of trouble. Amen. That is one. He will tell you one. This is common for today. Gay marriage rights is okay. God is pleased with that because they love each other. Hey, is that not one of the arguments that they have? We love each other. Amen. Let me show you what the Bible says about that. Hold your finger there. Go to Romans. Show you what the Bible says about that. We love each other. Romans chapter 1. Because if anybody ever says that to them, the first question to ask them is, do you really know what love is? Romans chapter number 1, let's come down here because God is going through a laundry list of sins. Romans chapter number 1, and let's come down, pick it up at verse 24. And notice what God is saying here about homosexuality. Now, again, should we love homosexuals? Yes. Should we love the sin? No. Romans 1, verse 24, wherefore, excuse me, Yes, is that one? Yeah, that's what I want. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own what? Bodies between who? Themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto what kind of affections? Vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the who? Woman, burned in their what? Lust. Does it say love? But we love each other. No, you might as well just call it what it is. We lust each other. That's what God calls it. God calls it lust. He does not call it love because it's unnatural. It's not what God created. It is not what God made. Otherwise, he would have made two ladies and said, y'all go get busy, and two men and said, y'all get busy. Or he would have just said two Adams, amen. Adam 1 and Adam 2, y'all go ahead and get busy. But God didn't mean it that way. So if it's not love, it is lust. And that's what it is that people are trying to say, oh, gay rights, we love each other. No, that's not what God said. That's not what God said. Now, I'm not trying to bash anyone that's that way. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. That I don't care what they say that they love, it is not love because it's unnatural. It's lust. Notice what he says down there. Burned in their lust one toward another. Men with who? Men working that which is what? Unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. By the way, many of you probably remember when AIDS first came out. Remember it was called GRIDS? Yeah, amen. It was called GRIDS. Or was it GRIDS or GIDS? GRIDS. And so that's what it was called. But then, of course, we can't have that because now that makes us look bad. No. But in a lot of instances, that's how it was acquired. Now, granted, that's not the only way you can get it. Understand that. But back in the days, it was acquired that way quite readily. And they quickly jumped on the old political bandwagon. We can't have that. We'll just change that to AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. I'll just call it what it is. Amen. In some instances, it's just plain old flat out sin. In some instances. Amen. And so it says, and even verse 28, as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Which are those things? They listed those things there and some things already. So when they say we love each other, they've got to get it right. You know, what's another one? Don't discipline your child. We talked about that in great length this morning. The lie of Satan will say, don't you discipline your child. And we have a generation of unruly children right now. You can't tell them anything. They are hard-headed. They're stubborn. They're rude. They're mean. They're uncooperative. They are just downright nasty at times, amen, towards elderly people and adults, and have zero respect for them. How'd that happen? We stopped disciplining our children. Yes, ma'am. Don't spank children. Amen. Amen. And by the way, is it biblical to discipline children? Yes. Yes, it is. Hey, if you don't spank them, you're asking for trouble. Go over to Proverbs real quick. Let me show you this. Proverbs 29. Now, I'm not saying you go out there and whoop them like I was talking about this morning. I'm not talking about that, although it worked for me. Amen. Amen. That's the way it was back in the days. Everybody got a piece of you. Amen. Proverbs 29 and verse number 15. By the way, we need to go back to the old ways in some of that. Amen. Now, some folks just didn't do it right, amen, but there were some folks that did it right. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. So the devil will say, don't discipline your children, let them be. Notice what it says here, verse 15. The rod and reproof. So get some rod on their bottom and reprove them. Tell them what's wrong. Give what? Wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth what? His mother to shame. Mothers often feel the brunt of that first before the man does. Notice verse 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee what? rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. And they even have a verse for the squeamish parent. Go over to Proverbs 23. This is for the squeamish parent that says, well, I don't want to spank my child. Proverbs 23, verse 13. And what does the Bible say in verse 13? Withhold not what? Correction from the child, for if thou, what's the word? Beatest him. Say, oh, that sounds tragic. No, it means get the rod on him and deal with him. Deal with him. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not what? Die. By the way, the rod is a small little thing that administers a nice little tap on the bottom. But it stings. And you're not going to die from that. But oh, you'll remember from it. You'll remember from it. But notice what he says. He's not going to die. Thou shalt, what's the word? Beat him. Gives the affirmation. Thou shalt beat him with the what? The rod, and shall deliver his soul from what? Hell. He says, deal with him. Deal with him. Folks, what we have now is a generation of children that are not being dealt with by the parent. By the way, the Bible says if you don't chase them, you don't love them. Amen. Amen. I'm just saying, these are lies that Satan is giving out. By the way, one of the biggest lies that I believe Satan gives you when it comes to an alternate direction is this. It won't happen to me. I think that is one of the biggest ones that Satan gives out when he leads you astray. Well, I won't get caught. It won't happen to me. I won't do this. I won't do that. Famous last words. Guess what that is called? Pride. Pride. I think one of the biggest misleadings astray that Satan gives us is it won't happen to me. I can do this and it's not going to turn out the way everybody says so. Amen. If God said it's going to turn out a certain way, guess what? Probably going to turn out worse. Amen. First Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So one of the biggest leading of strays, I believe, that happens amongst us is it won't happen to me. Amen. Hey, I'm living proof. I say, when I have kids, this is not going to happen to me. I'm not going to have a messy house. Those kids are going to have one room. They're going to play in that one room, and that's how it's going to be. They're not going in any other room. They're not dirtying up any other room. That one room is going to be called the playroom, and if they come out of that room, they will die. First time G2 came out there with a toy. Oh, look, he's so cute. I thought he was going to die. Look at him, he's so cute. Gregory, get back with the toy. Huh. Go get another toy. That ended real soon. Real soon. Before we had kids, they said, y'all, house look like a museum. I said, yep, we're going to keep it that way too. Even when we have kids, they touch it, their hands are going to get broke. That lasted real long. What happened? Take heed, lest you fall. It won't happen to me. Amen. That's what I said. No, I got three of them. Johnson say, G2 say, that's why I'm not having no kids. Hey, what am I saying? Satan will try to lead us astray anywhere but the will of God. Let me give you this next one here. Satan is not just a deliberate deceiver in direction, but he's a deliberate deceiver in duplicating. By the way, what you see when it comes to Satan is not what you get. Amen. Hey, folks, I've seen it happen. Pastor White, I'm sure you can vouch for this. Brother Neil, I'm sure you can vouch for this. The young ladies come up there and say, whoa, I've got this guy. We're going to get married. And he says he's a Christian. And they get married, and now you can't find him with the FBI in church. Am I right, Brother Neil? But he said he's a Christian. My teenagers used to get married with that. Well, Brother Dawson, I got a new boyfriend. I said, is he saved? They said he is. I can say I'm a car and go in the garage. Is that baby an automobile? Did you see them in church? Do they have a church? Did you get a testimony? Are they born again? Are they saved? Well, I think so. Are you saved? Yes. Are they saved? I don't know. I'm just saying. It has happened. He's a deceiver. What you see is not what you get. 2 John 1:7. He's a deceiver in duplicating. 2 John 1:7. And notice this verse here. There's two that we're going to look at. This is the first one, 2 John. And I used to give my teenagers grief when it came to that. I said, bring them to church. Let's see if we can get them saved. 2 John, chapter number 1, verse number 7. And notice what he says down in verse, for many deceivers are entered into the world. How many deceivers?
Many.
What are we talking about? He's a duplicating deceiver. Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Amen. So we know there are going to be many deceivers out there. Show you the parallel to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He is a deceiver in duplicating. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. What am I saying here? Satan wants to deceive you. He wants to deceive me. The victory is already won, but he wants you to be unproductive and unsuccessful. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Paul here speaking about some false ministers that were giving grief to the church. And notice what he says here, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And come down to verse number 13. Talking about these imposters that were doing some things, he says in verse 13, for such are, what kind of apostles? False apostles. What's so dangerous about a false apostle? It's false. Yes, that's true. But what's so dangerous about a false apostle? He looks like a real apostle. What's so dangerous about a false teacher? Looks like a real teacher. What's so dangerous about an imposter of anything? They look like the real thing. And so he says down here in verse 13, for such are false apostles. Paul here is defending his apostleship. He says, I'm a real apostle. Listen to me. These guys are false apostles. They sound like me. They may speak smooth like me. They may even say Jesus like me. But they are nothing like me. They're false apostles. Notice what he says. Such are false apostles. Deceitful workers. Here we go again with what? Deceit. Transforming themselves into the apostles of who? If I can appeal to your senses and pretend like I am an apostle of Christ, I can get your allegiance and I can lead you astray. I can beguile you. Why? I've got your attention now. I've got your trust now. And I will lead you astray. Jim Jones and on down the line, all those guys, Harry, what's that guy's name that led all those people to their death drinking that Kool-Aid? What's his name?
Jim Jones.
Jim Jones, amen. Led all those folks to their death. Hey, if I can get you into believing like I believe, but I'm not really an apostle, I'm a false apostle, I can get you in big trouble. Amen. Hey, folks, that is why you have a Bible. That is why I have one. Check it out. See if it's true. Match it up. I'm not asking you to take my word. I'm asking you to take the word. Amen. When it comes down to it, Satan's a deceiver. Notice what he says in that next verse. And no marvel, for Satan himself is what? Transformed into what? He looks so good. My little teenager would come back in there, but Brother Dawson, you don't know how good they looked. And I say, I assure you, they look very good. I said, but if they're not saved, they're no good for you. But Brother Dawson, I'm missing my chance on love. You're 13. You're 13. You have many more chances for love. And trust me, this is not one of them. Amen. Brother Dawson, you're sucking all the fun out of things. Preacher, am I right? Teenagers don't want to hear that. But this is the love of my life. You ain't got but 13 years in life. How can this be the love of your life? But have you seen their eyes? No, and I don't need to. Have you seen her hair? No, and I don't need to. Did you see how he looked? No, and I'm not really interested. Amen. But they would tell me all these things. Hey, folks, just because it seems right doesn't mean it is right. And he said these guys were false apostles transforming themselves into an angel of light. Therefore, verse 15, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of what? Righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And if they're false works, guess what? They're going to bamboozle you into false works. What am I saying here? The duplicating deception of Satan is real. Let me show you another one here. This is the last one. Satan is a deliberate deceiver in details, not just in duplicating, but also in details. Go over to Genesis chapter 3 in details. By the way, never get in a talking match with the devil. You know why? He will win, you will lose. Did Jesus get into a talking match with Satan? What did Jesus give him? He quoted scripture. Jesus did not get into a debate with him. He just said, it is written. Read it and weep. You don't want to get into a debate with Satan because you will lose. You will lose. We are not as bright as Satan. Amen. So you will lose, I will lose. Genesis 3, verse 1. Of course, this is where Satan comes up. Notice what it says. Now the serpent was more subtle. That word subtle there means cunning in a bad sense. Amen. Was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye should not eat of every tree of the garden? So Satan coming up here, he's a deliberate deceiver in details. He's going to engage Eve in details. By the way, do you want to engage Satan in details? He's a manipulator. I used to try that with my mother. My mother said, boy, you better not touch that door. And I'd go over there and do something like that and open the door. She said, I told you not to touch the door. I said, Mama, I didn't put a hand on it. Am I lying? Now y'all see why I got beat all the time, amen. Did I put a hand on it? No, I didn't put a hand on it. Mom, you're unfairly accusing me. I didn't put a hand on that door. Don't you learn from that boy, I get you. What did I do? I manipulated the details. I didn't put a hand on it. Boy, you better not do whatever. And I would just, she said, boy, you ought to be a lawyer when you grow up. She said, you twist the truth so bad. You got me believing this stuff. That wasn't a compliment, by the way, either. Amen. It was a slam. Amen. But Satan is going to get her into details, and he's a deliberate deceiver in details. Notice what he says down there. The woman said unto the serpent, verse 2, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. She says, so yes, there's a mental sin. Yes, we can do this. But of the tree of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you should not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Okay, now, did God say not to touch it? No, God didn't say that part, amen. Maybe Adam told her that. And say, God said that. Amen. I don't know. But now verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He's a deliberate deceiver in details. Was she going to die? Physically, no, not right away. Was she going to die right away spiritually? Yes. He deliberately shift this thing and said, you're not going to die. By the way, I'll submit this to you that I submitted once before. Did Eve know what death looked like? Had any animal ever died before? Had she gone along and see the sparrow fall out the tree and said, oh, I'm dead. Did she just see the possum dead? No. So did she know what death really looked like? She didn't have a clue what death looked like. She said, well, God said we're going to die. And Satan said, you're not going to surely die. And by the way, what does it look like? Amen. What is he giving her? He's giving her half truth to deceive or mislead her to do what he wants her to do. Amen. Hey, by the way, getting back to my little teenager right there. The boy will tell the girl anything she wants to hear to get her. Amen. Do you have a car? Yeah, I got a car. Under his breath, but it's my parents. You got your own place? Yeah, it's called a room at home. You got a job? Yes. I get allowance. You got a job? Yes. I cut grass at home and I get paid for it. They tell you anything you want to hear. And what is that? A half-truth. It's a half-truth. And they say, well, yeah, I got a car. Whose car is that? That's mine. That I'm borrowing from my mother for the hour. Hey, notice what he says down there. Verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Amen. Were her eyes going to be opened to good and evil if she ate? Yes. Yes. the point that he left out is that now with a sin nature, my nature and tendency would be to do bad than good because of the evil in my heart of disobedience. And so now I'm going to be prone to do bad more than good with this knowledge of good and evil. By the way, to this day, you and I aren't forced to sin. And we have knowledge of good and evil, do we not? But what do? We have a tendency to go towards the evil, even as saved people. I mean, we got Michael Jackson down with that moonwalk, boy. Moonwalking to the side and going over there. Hey, we got it down pat. Michael Jackson didn't invent moonwalking, and backsliding Christians did. Ask Jeremiah, you backsliding heifers, he called them. Amen. You're going backwards. Jeremiah, let them have it. Hey, what am I saying here? Spiritually speaking, she was going to die right away, but she had no knowledge of what death looked like. Physically, she was going to die eventually, and Satan left out all these half-truths and gave her only the part to mislead her. That's why she said, he beguiled me, because the word beguiled means to lead astray. He is a deliberate deceiver in details, and you do not want to get involved in it. By the way, what famous person gave some half-truths in the book of Genesis? Two people. Abraham, and who's the other one? Joshua? No, not Jacob. This is a little bit closer, yes. Not Moses. Yes. Isaac. Isaac told the same lie his daddy told. Half-truth. She's my sister, but she's also your wife. Amen. What happened? Gave only the part that was necessary to get me to believe what I want you to believe. Amen. You go to the job. Where were you at yesterday? Well, I was sick. Hey, you were sick last week. You weren't sick yesterday. You just took off. Well, what do we want to do? We want to mislead the boss into thinking I was sick yesterday, but I was really sick last week and I just didn't call off. This week, I'm fine. I just don't want to come to work. I'm tired. Amen. What am I doing? Misleading. Misleading. I'm telling a lie to mislead someone, but it is a truth, but it's half of the truth. The truth known is that I was lazy and overslept, and so I was, didn't want to get there. Amen. Well, the train was there. That's why I'm late. No, the train was there, but you're late because you woke up 30 minutes late. And you're going to blame it on the train. What is that? Half-truth. Trying to use the truth to mislead someone. And that's what Satan does. Amen. Folks, we're going to close with this last verse. Amen. Go over to Ephesians 4:17. And this is going to be for next week or next time. Pastor's got next week. And this is the first point as Satan and his target. And this is why Satan targets our mind. Ephesians chapter number 4. I just want to give you this so that you can kind of see where Satan is coming from. Because the first area that we're going to look at is Satan as a deceiver targets our mind. In Ephesians chapter number 4. And hear me on this one, folks. Amen. When it comes to Satan, does he know us? Yes, he does. And why is Satan's target our mind? Anybody take a wild guess? G? Central processing unit, yes, Brother Neil. Man thinking in the heart, so is he. Amen. What'd you say, brother? He can control it. Amen. Those things are all true. Somebody else had another comment? Why is Satan's target our mind? Yes. He can corrupt it. Amen, Ms. White. Amen. I'm going to do what I want to do. Amen. The truth of the matter is based on this. The target of Satan is our mind, primarily because that was our old direction. That was our nature beforehand. And if I don't renew my mind, guess what I'm operating off of? My old direction. Notice verse 17 here. I say therefore, and testify the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other who? Gentiles walk. How? In the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But notice what he says here. But ye have not so learned Christ. Amen. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him. Notice that word again that we talked about this morning. Taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the what? The old man, which is what? Corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be what? Renewed in the spirit of your mind, and what? That ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Why does Satan target our mind? Because it was our previous direction and we're prone to go that way by nature. And so he targets it because he says, if you don't get it renewed, I got it. I got it. Now, if I got it renewed, guess what? The Spirit of God can work on what I have. But if I don't put anything in my new man and with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is nothing wrong with the Holy Spirit. But guess what? I'm going to operate off of what I know. If I don't put the Word of God in, guess what? I'm operating off of the old man and I will get in trouble. And so Satan targets your mind because he knows, number one, it's corrupt. Number one, that's your old direction. And number two, if I've got your old number, I can call you again. Amen. Hey, do like I do. I just found out recently that on my phone, I can reject peddlers. And man, you talk about somebody happy. I was getting like 7-8 calls a day from peddlers. Hey, you need to punch this number and we've got $1 million for you. Hey, you've got to come over here and do this and we'll give you this and give us your credit card number and we'll do this. And I'm thinking, really? And I happened to mistakenly press a button that said auto reject. I said, oh! That didn't say what I thought it said. Auto reject this number. Man, I've been counting. Pow, 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 pow. I went back down the list and rejected every number that was an erroneous number. Man, I forgot my phone this morning. I didn't get any phone calls, preacher. None. I said, I like this. Auto reject. Pow, pow. I'm telling you, amen. So it doesn't even get there. So it comes up there and says, get back, amen. Got that, what's that, get Captain America ship. Boing, amen. I like that. Hey, what am I saying here? Satan knows our minds are going to go in the previous direction if we don't have it changed. And so he targets our mind because by nature, that's the direction we want to go. And that's why Paul here specifically said, you've got to change your mind. You've got the mind of Christ. Now you've got to renew it and put something new inside that the Holy Spirit can operate off of. Why? That's our previous direct. That's the way we want it to go. Hey, by the way, how many of y'all go the same way home most of the time? We're creatures of habit. How many of y'all eat with the same hand all the time? Creatures of habit. Some of y'all are, you got to, how many of y'all got to have something to drink when you eat? How many don't have anything to drink when you eat? I'm the only oddball. What am I saying? We're creatures of habit. That which we do, we tend to continue doing. Amen. My wife, she likes to get spice things up. Let's go home a different way. I'm thinking, go home a different way. Why? Just because we can. Creatures of habit say, but what's wrong with the way we always go? Now, if the traffic were backed up, I can see it going, but let's go this way. Yeah, sightsee. Let's go this way. I don't want to go that way. I want to go the way I know. I know how long it takes me to get home. It takes me 25 minutes and 30 seconds. Now, if I go your way, I have no idea how long it takes to get home. So a couple hours. I don't want to go that way. Amen. Why? The devil knows we're creatures of habit. And he knows our previous direction is a bad way. And he wants to capitalize. So he's going to attack your mind. He's going to attack my mind if it's not renewed. What is this first point we're talking about? Satan as a deceiver, he wants to target our minds. We'll see next week when I get up here again, is that as he targets our mind, he's going to tell us a bunch of lies. And you can't trust him. Folks, that's why your defense and my defense, what did Jesus tell him? It is written. It is written. It is written. He gave him three times. It is written. Amen. Folks, as you leave here today, if you don't leave with anything else, remember that Satan is a deceiver. He's a deliberate, he is trying to deliberately deceive you. If it seems to be good, too good to be true, it probably is not true. Amen. Hey, I've gotten a lot of deals that well, man, this seems too good to be true. And most times it really wasn't true at all. Amen. If it seems too good to be true, it probably is not. Hey, folks, truth originates with Jesus Christ. It originates with God. Let's trust the book that has the truth. We already know Satan is a deliberate deceiver. He is going to try to deceive you with your eyes wide open. But folks, don't fall for it because you've got the book that tells you truth from error. Don't let it happen to you when you've got God's word. He will try. He will try. And he will tell you that he's going to do it to your face. What is he? With Eve? Deceiver in details. Don't let him deceive you. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace, Lord. We know Satan is a deliberate deceiver, Lord, in details. Lord, we know that he's a deliberate deceiver in direction. He wants to get us off the right place that we ought to be. He's a deceiver in duplicating. He has many, many deceivers out there. Lord, he's a deliberate deceiver in his description. He's a liar and the father of it. Lord, help us to avoid the lies by residing in truth. Lord, because he knows our previous direction, help us to reside and walk in the new direction, the new man, the new life, the new way, the word of God. Lord, help us to be aware of Satan's tactics. And Lord, help us to be aware of the details that he tries to get us caught up in. If God said it, that settles it. Help us not to deliberate, discuss it, or debate with Satan, but just say it is written. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Help us to do that which is pleasing in thy sight. And thank you so much for this thy people. Help us, Lord, to leave here again differently than we came in, more enlightened to the word of God, the will of God, and the wisdom of God. And help us, Lord, to go to school tomorrow, to work, wherever we're going to go, with a renewed mindset that we're going to go in the direction of Christ likeness, not into the direction of deception. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need now and dismiss us with thy blessings, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor White's going to come up with our announcements. Don't forget, pray for him. Pray for Brother Neil. And by the way, let me throw this in there as well. I normally don't say this, but let me say this because it's true. Anytime I leave Pastor White here to preach or Brother Neil here to preach, the devil attacks their wives, if you didn't know that. The same way he would normally attack my wife when I'm here. When I'm gone, he's going to jump on the wives of the two men that are preaching here. Pray for their wives specifically, that Satan would be stayed from them, because they need their wives to be in support of them, and Satan is going to attack them. He knows that I'm going to be out of pocket, and that is the best time to attack the church when the man of God is gone. Pray for them. Pray for their wives. Their wives can be there to help them and support them. And pray for the men of God as well as we're gone next week, because it is inevitable Satan is looking to attack this pulpit. And sometimes he can do that by getting the wives down. Amen. So do pray for them next week. Pastor White.
I tell you, many times I think the pastor has been gone, it seems like the strangest thing.